Please stand. Those that can, would you kneel with me? My dear Heavenly Father, as we come once more this night, it is in thanksgiving and praise once more this day, thanking you for all the blessings of life that you've given us. Thanking you, Father, that we live in a land of freedom where we have the opportunity to come and worship Thee. I pray, Father, that you will bless the speaker this night, that Thy Spirit would be poured out upon him. Lord, that he might give to us truly the words of life. For we know that truly your words are life. We pray, Lord, that they might rest upon our heart, that we might be touched and moved. Lord, that we might be instructed. I pray, Father, that you would continue to be with our loved ones that would be at the reunion and in other places, Lord, those that travel in the missionary field, my dad and my uncle. I pray that you'd continue to bless our loved ones that would be traveling homeward, that you would keep them safe and hold them in the hollow of thy hand. Lord, I ask as well that you'd watch over and strengthen those that are weak, especially those, Father, who have great physical problems. Continue to bless Pat McCollum. I pray that you continue, Father, to be with Jamie and Marty Addy, with Charles, and I pray that you'd continue as well to bless Joe Eddy. Bless those, Father, who have great needs that I know not of. I do ask, Father, that you would even now be with us with thy Spirit, I pray, that we might know of thy presence and that we might truly gain from this time that we spend here this night with thee. And these things, Father, I ask humbly in the name of Christ. Amen. We're going to use number 149 for our second song. 149. Again, I'll ask if you would stand. Again, once more today, I ask that you'd give our other assistant pastor your attention as he would desire to bring to you the words of life. And as I look down here to say that, I notice there's an empty chair, and Nathan has need to be administered to, and so we're going to do that first. And I'm going to ask Tom and Brian if they would do that right now. Have the opportunity to introduce him, and thankful to God that he's home from the Alaskan fastness and able to meet with us on a regular basis once more. That means a great deal to me, and I know that it's meant a great deal to him. And so I ask that you pray for him and give him your attention.
Thank you, Brother Joel. I like to, a lot of times when we have a small group, kind of have a little different service in the evening, more on the Sunday school style, where there might be two-way communication. I may ask things of the group, maybe your opinions or your thoughts about certain things. I appreciate Joel's comments. I have enjoyed being here myself. There was an article in our paper today that kind of struck my eye, and I thought to maybe bring it to your attention tonight. The article says, "Do you believe in God?" And it had readers that responded to that very question. And these readers were young people. And I'm pleasantly surprised where I see a lot of young people here, and I'm glad that they are, because I may be asking them some questions and their own thoughts about that question. Some of the answers in which they recorded, there was a little bit of everything. There's six of them recorded here, and I'd like to share them with you tonight. And I want to get some of your opinions on that. And then I have some scripture to go along with it as well. Again, the question, do you believe in God? There was a young gal, she was 14 years old. She says, many of the people being interviewed said they didn't know what God was. So they didn't know if they believed in Him. What's to know? God's God. You can't explain what God looks like or who He is. You just have to have faith in Him. That was one of the respondents. The next respondent I would like you young people to listen very carefully. Those of you that have grown up in the church, like you guys in the back row, and different ones who have come on a regular basis with your parents, I want you to listen to this response from the 16-year-old from Utah when she was asked the question, do you believe in God? I have been raised as a Mormon. I live in Utah and have never really been exposed to any other religion or culture. But I don't know if I believe in God. I've never lived my life without the Mormon church. I go to church every week, but I don't know if I believe what's going on. I have a fear of turning away from my church because of the rejection that others will show me. I believe I can still be a good person even if I don't believe in God. A person who is kind and loving and cares about others is the kind of person I admire. Not a person who goes to church every week and looks down on others because they don't live the life of God. I thought that to be very interesting. Especially the part where it says, I don't know if I believe in God. Here was a 16-year-old that went to church all her life. I would imagine a fairly strong family. But she had no concept of God. The next one, wanting to know, this was a 17-year-old, wanting to know exactly who God is, or worrying about you not knowing who you are praying to are not realistic problems. If God, who created the world and humanity, wished for us to know God the same way that we are close with our family and friends, God would have given us the answers to all the life's questions and made us friends, not followers. I strive to be a better person, and I pray to God. As a teenager, I do not expect to know all there is to know about religion. I sense God's presence and see God's work in my everyday life. Like other Jewish people, I look for answers to the great theology questions. But while I study, I act by doing good deeds for others. We hope that through these acts, we will come closer to understanding God. Another 16-year-old. When my friends are trashing someone, I always think about what Jesus would do. Then I do it. Most of the time, it's hard to be brave and stand up for someone when all your friends are picking on him. But Jesus is the example of how I want my life to be, so I try. Here's an 18-year-old. You may have heard this response before. I do not believe in God, and I am sick of the criticism and discrimination I face simply because I do not share in the commonly accepted Christian beliefs. I used to be very religious until I went through a very difficult time when God was supposed to be there. I prayed in tears for months for some relief to my loneliness. I felt nothing. Luckily, however, I had a very good friend, which I had not realized until that time. I got through my deep depressions with my own inner resources and the help of a close friend and my mom. I now see God as an excuse for things that people cannot define or explain, and I do not feel the need to believe that. I am not a bad person. I do 100 hours of community service a year. I'm extremely involved in my school and city, and I am an honest, friendly, and caring person with many friends. I am respectful of all people's beliefs. Please keep an open mind, for that and not religion will truly free you. Kind of an interesting thought, wasn't it? The next one is a 14-year-old, and this is another dichotomy from the rest. God has helped my family through many hard times. When we haven't had many money for groceries, God has somehow made sure we got it. When my grandfather died, I knew I'd see him again in heaven. I live with a sense of God touching our family. I'd like to tell all the mixed-up teenagers that there is a God and only one God. And if you aren't right with my God, then you will burn in hell. Now, I wonder what side she's on, right? The one that said, I don't believe in God. And she says, please keep an open mind, for that and not religion will truly free you. An open mind. It made me think about Mosiah in the 3rd chapter of Mosiah. Verses 8 through 10. And now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he has spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and daughters. And under this head ye are made free. And there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. And that would mean that just having an open mind is not going to free you. Okay. Do you believe in God? Are we hiding back there? Aaron, I want you to help me with this, if you would, please. With this question, do you believe in God? What are some of the things that you think about in your own faith where you could explain that to someone? Do you have something in mind? What is it that helps you to have that understanding of a belief in God? How old are you?
16.
Okay, you're in that range. They answered. What is it that helps you to have a belief in God? I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. Just relax. Pretend this is Sunday school. And let's talk about this. Because it's really important, I think.
Family.
Your family? Okay, so your family ties help you? Hope I spelled that right. I didn't, did I? Your family? That's kind of like what this one person talked about. This one that was from Utah. But it didn't seem to be enough, did it? Rebecca? Or, what are you? You want to add something here? What helps you to, what would you tell somebody when you say you believe in God? What is it that you would tell them why you believe in God? That you wouldn't be here. Would they understand that?
No.
No. Okay. So, how would you put it in their terms? If you were talking to a friend of yours, that
it gives you hope.
Now, that's a good one. It gives you hope. Okay. So, it gives you hope. Do you think it's artificial? What if they said, well, that's fine for you, but doing good things for somebody gives me hope. What kind of, in that relationship, what is that hope? Hope in what? After death?
Just that you're not alone.
You're not alone. Okay, good. And you feel that inside? Okay, good. Rebecca, what are your thoughts? Can you add something to it? What are some of the things that help you in your understanding on the belief of God? Huh? Okay. So your belief in the written word helps you with that understanding that you believe in God. Is that what you're saying? Okay, belief in the scripture. That's good. Okay. Daniel, what is it that helps you in that belief? Okay, like in miracles and stuff, you mean? Or just everyday life? Okay. Uh-huh. Well, you're getting a lot of good ones here. Testimonies? What else did you say? Did I miss something else? Prophecies, testimonies? Did you say something else?
Just work in your own life.
Okay. Okay. That's good. I saw a little hand here. Yes, Andrew. Because you saw Jesus? Okay. So we would say, like in dreams or visions? Is that good enough? In the dreams? Okay. That's good. What about you two? What is your thoughts concerning your belief in God? What helps you to... If you were talking to your friend and you wanted to explain to him why you believed in God, is there something specific you could tell him? Hmm? Because you were taught that? The things that your parents taught you? And they haven't been known to lie to you, have they? No. So you hold it to be a truth, right? Unless you find that for some reason there was a lie and then you wouldn't believe maybe or have doubts, right? That's kind of normal. That's good. What about Holly back there? You got them all? Any of the parents do want to join in? Oh, sorry. Your prayers? Yeah, you bet. That's communing with God, so through prayer. You bet. You know, I sat and tried to think about that. You know, the thing that distressed me the most about this, this article here, was the one from Utah. That bothers me. Because we have a lot of young people that have grown up in this church. And I'm afraid that if we asked them, why do you believe in God? Could they really explain it? Or do you believe in God? I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying I hope and pray that we as parents and ministry and as a church have not failed them in our belief. I'm going to make room. I'm going to show you some of the things I was thinking about. Well, I can... Let me see. I hate to erase that. I shouldn't have written so big. Let me just put them off to the side. Probably one of the first things that I thought of, only because I'm standing before you today, the ministry in delivering the Word of God. How effective they are, if they do work in the Spirit of God. In Romans, in the 10th chapter, in the 14th through the 17th verse of the 10th chapter of Romans, it says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So So the ministry has a big chore in helping each one of us to believe in God. To help bring out this part, the belief in the Scripture, by giving example and promoting prayer and families. You know, all those things tie together. Under the ministry, you have prophets and seers and teachers and the whole gamut that helps promote the Word of God. Probably the next biggest one would be the Spirit of God. Like we talked about this morning, the Spirit of God is very important to the consciousness of man, helping us to feel that God is there, that He hears us, that He knows our heart, that He has an influence within our life, that He's alive. Our children need to understand and have that feeling. They have to experience that. That's one of the things, as I've grown older, I've been able to think back in my younger days. And I remember how strong my feelings were on all kinds of things when I was younger. It seemed like when you were younger, you were more strong in your feelings and in your thoughts and desires and whatever it is. They were more pronounced then. As you got older, or as you get older like myself, you get a little laid back, you know, not as demonstrative. But I know Tom would probably disagree in a priesthood meeting, but but it is true that the young people, they have a lot of energy and strong ideas and feelings, and the Spirit of God can work with them to identify that there truly is a God, and He works with all mankind. In the second book of Nephi, in the 14th chapter, verses 11 and 12, it says, "For if you will hearken unto the Spirit which teaches a man to pray, you would know that you must pray, for the evil spirit teaches the man not to pray, but teaches him that he must not pray. And behold, I say unto you that you must pray always, and not faint, that you must not perform anything unto the Lord, save at the first place you shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, and He will consecrate thy performance unto thee, and thy performance may be of the welfare of thy soul." Probably the one of the more important things to learn in working with the Spirit of God is that avenue of prayer, and prayer with real intent, and dealing with every aspect of your life. As a young person, there's lots of decisions that you're going to be making in your life. A lot of decisions. I wish there was you young people in the back, as you come to age of looking for a mate, making decisions about moving away from home, being on your own, providing a life for yourself. Those things there are very important and need to be exercised. In the 15th chapter of that same second book of Nephi, verses 1 and 2, and it says, "And now I, Nephi, cannot write all the things which were taught among the people, neither am I mighty in writing, like unto speaking. For when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men. And behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, that it hath no place in them. Wherefore they cast many things away which are written, and esteem them as things of naught." Also, the Spirit of God is that one that carries the Word of God within their hearts, within your hearts. And those of you that have experienced that, you know that when you've read a verse of Scripture and tears come in your eyes because of the understanding that you have and the emotions that come with it, that's the power of God carrying that understanding to your heart. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Being raised by Ruth Gates Weller,
grandfather, James E. Yeats, I believe there was never a doubt.
Right.
But as I grew older and had the experiences and all those things the kids have named, now I know there's a God.
Okay.
And I believe because my loved ones and the ones that family all live, they told me, and I believed it, and I never doubted it. But now, as I grow older and experience those things, now I know there's a God.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad you said that. And that comes through these personal testimonies of the things that have witnessed in your own life, the validity of God, and the things that your parents taught you as a child.
That's where it starts.
You bet. Oh, yeah. That's why this one here was very important for a young person. Thank you, Meredith. And I want you, any of you, if you have a question, or if you want to say something, to raise your hand, and we'll do it, because this is the kind of thing we're having. And I appreciate that, Meredith. That's what I want to see. In Moroni, in the 7th chapter, staying with this thought of the Spirit of God, that's on page 764. Verses 13 and 14, it says, "Behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that you may know good from evil. And the way to judge is plain, that you may know what a perfect knowledge, with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and the gift of Christ." So our rebuttal, or at least our thinking dealing with God, is that all those things that come from God, or all those things that are good, come from God. They come as a gift from God. Anything that would invite or entice to do good is of God. And to follow up with that would be in the 10th chapter, that same Moroni in the 10th chapter, 3 through 7. That's on page 775. "Behold, I would exhort you that when you shall read these things," again using the scripture, if it be wisdom in God that you should read them, that you would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam, even down until the time that you shall receive these things, and ponder it in your hearts. And when you shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things." A very powerful advocate concerning that understanding our belief in God. And we have to utilize it. We have to use it in our daily life. Just to back it up in the Bible, familiar scripture in John, 16th chapter. Verses 13 and 15, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Again, the Spirit of God. Let me read the 15th verse. "And all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." What are some of the other things? Is there something else that isn't up there that might go along with why we may have a belief in God? Yes. That's a very interesting statement. Tested the promises. if you remember correctly, that when the Lord showed himself to those in the Book of Mormon after his death and resurrection, he invited them to come and feel of the prince and to test if he was truly who he was. And that's good. That's good. Is there any others that you might think of? Yes, Chris.
I remember when I was 18, I had always believed in God because of my mother and what she had done, but just simply having the example around my hope that she gave to me, there came a point when that wasn't enough for me, that I didn't have a personal knowledge. And I think that the desire just started to grow in me that God would manifest his spirit to me on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believed, but there was a point in my life when I had to have a personal conversion. And it was just an intense desire to really know for myself.
Don't let me interrupt. That's very important, because guess what? That gal from Utah, I don't know if she had a true desire to know that. You know? To really test the waters. She knew that there was a question there, but had she maybe set out to try and find out the answers? You know? I don't know. That's very important. You can go on faith, just like Meredith said, you can go on faith only so far. But you have to exercise that faith, and the scripture talks about that a lot, by, like our sister Louise, by testing the waters. Like Peter, when he walked out on the water, he had faith that the Lord would help him, but he actually had to get out of the boat and walk on that water. And that's the testing or the desire to know. Yeah, Tom.
I said, like what the Lord said, and I think it kind of sums up a lot of here. It says, come learn of me.
Come learn of me.
Come learn of me.
Sure.
Learn of him. Understand what he is. He's spirit, the word of spirit, and that he's love. You know, and you begin to understand that he's a creator, one thing, another, right? Come in stronger. Mm-hmm. I think when, like Chris says, she was 18, I think she had a hope at that time. She had what her parents told her there was a God and some teaching there, but it was kind of like a hope. And then as she began to learn, you get that faith and that trust and that agency.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have your experiences as well, and you test, like her brother and sister Louise said, you test, and you put it all together, I think then it's just what comes in.
That it builds a good foundation. Mm-hmm. Did you have a question? Or want to say something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking about that word hope, too. And of course, all kinds of things have come to my mind. When I was growing up, there was one thing that I always told people when they asked me why. If this question of why I would believe in God, And it deals with this hope that not necessarily being alone, but it was always hard for me to imagine living life through however long or short it may be and dying and knowing that from that point on you were nothing. That you had no conscience, no anything. You were just dead. Lying there in a grave, life to me seemed it would be horribly hopeless and useless.
Mm-hmm.
It would serve no purpose. And so I got that as well today when Louise and Charlotte and I were talking with Rom. He mentioned this when he had found Christ and he was trying to convert his father, that the question he asked his father is, his father was on his deathbed and he said basically, well, do you have any hope of going to heaven? Do you have any hope of going any place? He said, no, I don't. Do you? Absolutely. I know where I'm heading. And to me, that is the basis of... I like like what Alma says, you know, it starts with a desire to believe. And then when you do what Louise said, and you test that desire, it begins to grow. And then when you start seeing the power of God that Daniel talked about, it grows bigger. And until you find what Meredith found, as you know, there's your faith has been tested.
It becomes a knowledge of that thing that you know, right? That was from, it transformed from faith to knowledge. Were you going to say something? Okay, and that's really important. Abiding peace. I've been doing a lot of traveling with a salesperson, and I've talked with that person concerning the scriptures, and her husband is an agnostic, because she said he was an agnostic. He doesn't believe in God. And and she had said that he was a good man in a lot of sense. He does a lot of good things. Kind of similar to this one gal here, and this 18-year-old says that she didn't believe in God, and all the other things concerning religion and the discrimination and criticisms and stuff like that. She really didn't like. But then she said that. Then she explained all the good things that she does, and she felt that was good enough, And I asked her kind of a point blank question, well, what hope does he have about when he dies, you know? And she thought about it, and she said, he has no hope. And then I guess the next question would be, well, then why are you doing good things? Why don't you just do whatever you want to do? Unless, you see what I'm saying? That abiding peace comes with this, for something better that's beyond, you know? It's really important.
I think it's kind of like what Abraham said. He was a pilgrim and a stranger, and he looked for that city that wasn't made with hands.
Yeah.
But that was where his mind's eye was, his goal in life.
Right. Sometimes with all the things that are in our lives, it's hard to focus on that. I can relate. One of the things that I thought about was this one that Andrew had given, and I kind of relate it to dreams and visions / visions or revelations. Revelations that come to the individual from God by the power and the Spirit of God. There's lots of evidence concerning those things. Let's go to Jacob, see what the scripture says about that. Jacob 3:11 in the Book of Mormon. Here on page 167 it says, and no man knoweth of his ways save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. So, you may have faith in something, but until it is actually revealed unto you, you're not going to have a knowledge of it. You're going to have to exercise your faith. And it's going to have to come by that. And that's the only means by which it can come. Let's see. Excuse me. Probably the other thing that I thought of that might be, and some of these things like this, and some of the prophecies, which is the direct workings of the Spirit. It would be spiritual gifts. What are your thoughts about spiritual gifts? How do you think that they would help in your belief in God? think they're necessary? Okay. Daniel? Okay, right. That's a good question. Okay, what? Remember what I read in Moroni? Moroni, the 10th chapter, actually the 7th chapter, 13 and 14. Every good thing, anything that is good, comes from God. That's how we know. So if there's something that good that comes in the life of this, it would be a good example is, now I realize she's attributing herself, because she says it very plainly, but then she also adds, when she was going through this trial and she was praying, when there are tears and these kinds of things, into her deep depression, she said, her inner resources and the help of a close friend and my mom. Now that close friend was... herself. That's what she considers. But she doesn't attribute that maybe her prayer was answered by the strength of her mother. She didn't that as part of that help. She chose to look maybe someplace else and say, God's not there for me. Yet she got help. So there was no one there to help her to understand, wait a minute, maybe you should focus back on this. Maybe that's why you came out of that, because of your prayer. And if you hadn't done it, what would have happened? And so your question, and I know I've been asked different questions like that, where something good comes in someone's life, or something of God has been in their life, they can't see it. Well, it's our responsibilities as believers to help them understand, well, maybe God is working in your life and you don't even know it because of this good thing that's come from that. Yes. Oh, no. She did believe in God, and it killed her faith in God, basically. Well, she had prayed and prayed and prayed, and she felt that God didn't answer her. Come out of that depression, and she did it herself and her mom, and now she thinks everyone's hypocrites that believe in Christianity. You see what I'm saying? Not recognizing that maybe she did get the help that she was looking for, and her mother was that big part in her life. Yes.
Do you think that part of her problem was the fact that whenever she heard about God, that there's this concept in the minds of the people in the world that God is only good. That he doesn't allow...
Yeah, anything bad.
He doesn't allow trials and problems and troubles, and that if he was truly God, that there shouldn't be war and there shouldn't be all these horrible things. And yet, it's because they don't have a knowledge of what God is. And that he does promise that... when we're in these times, that he is with us, but he tells us we're going to have it.
Right.
And I think the other thing is, without spiritual gifts, I don't think it's enough, because if you don't have a desire, if you can see all the spiritual gifts, you know, the children of Israel saw manifested great, marvelous, powerful things, and yet two of them were faithful enough and desirous enough to do the will of God that they saw the promised land. And so, and I beheld it. In fact,
I talked to some people last night about a daughter of theirs who had a miraculous healing in her youth. And yet her spiritual status today is maybe none. she is not even sure she believes in God.
Mm-hmm.
So even though spiritual gifts, and whether it's healings and all these things that manifest to us, I don't think it's enough to make a solid belief in God. There's got to be other things with it. It's not enough to convince somebody to be, when I say convince somebody, to the point that they will believe it the rest of their life.
I agree with you on that.
You know, one thing I think the spiritual gifts do is if you have the desire to know and the hope of God, it can help you through rough times. I know that in my own life, you know, I had no idea of where to go. I didn't know what to look for. I knew I was unhappy. And the Lord had given me dreams that gave me hope of a better life.
Okay.
And, you know, basically set me searching for the love of God. Even though I didn't know it at the time, I can recognize that today because I found it.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought me, it changed my life. And I think that, you know, that way, you know you're looking for something, you just don't know what. You know you're looking for God, and He can kind of help you with those gifts until you find what you're looking for.
Okay. Is there another hand? I agree with you, Joel, and Tom, concerning the discernment. I know Paul, he said he was apprehensive at times because he had to deal with things where it was abused, but he knew that there was a purpose behind those gifts, and there were strong testimonies. Remember how John the Baptist, what did he do to try and identify Christ? Because it had been prophesied that what? The dead were going to be raised. You know, lepers were going to be healed. Those miracles were going to be there. And the individual that was doing them was going to be the Son of God. And that was the first thing John the Baptist asks. Are you Him? So they do have an important role. As I went through a lot of the things in my mind, just like as we're writing these things on here, it's not any one thing, is it? It's a combination of all those things that work within your lives. One thing I noticed no one said anything about. What do you think about angels? What about angels? I see Wanda's head shaking.
They're there,
right? What did Christ say when He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane? And they were gonna come up there and Peter whacked off that guy's ear. What did He say? I can command 12 legions of angels. You know how many that is? Just a rough guess. A legion is about 6,000 people in the Roman army. You know, 76,000 angels. Just boom, they're here, you know. That's a lot of power, wouldn't it? There are hundreds of scripture references in the Bible and the Book of Mormon about angels interfacing with people. Testimonies. How they worked in the lives of individuals. Very important. They're the ones that announced Christ's birth. They're the ones that brought the gospel. You know, their role is very significant and many times overlooked. The one thing I liked was this, testimonies. Our own personal testimonies. I think that's why it's so important that when we have a testimony service, that when those things that happen in our lives that are a testament or a testimony of God working in our life, helping us in whatever manner it is, that we share it with our brothers and sisters. Because our young children and us older people like to hear those things. How God has worked in your life for good. It gives you hope. Yes.
I know Jenny remembers when Doris Sheldon would stand up and give her testimony
anything and how God can be.
Yeah, she sure did.
Finding a washing machine at a garage sale to losing her keys. It's just whatever it was. And in my adult life, when I have lost my keys, I have heard her voice as she has stood and testified that when she knelt in prayer, she found the keys. Or whatever it was. And it was the testimonies of the most basic life experiences that I remember.
Yeah, I have some of her written testimonies in my book where she stood in this congregation, and I used to record those things, and I know exactly what you're talking about. She depended on God for everything, and she testified of that and gave God the glory for it on a regular basis. You bet. Is there anything else? Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something that you hear talked of a lot of out-of-body experiences in today's world that I don't think are helpful in this. I've been hearing a lot of guys, people that have written books about an out-of-body experience that has nothing in it that is hardly even symbolic of what we believe is going to happen after this life. And making statements that lead toward the tent to look toward Eastern religion and reincarnation and other things where I remember it used to be something that really always was impressive to me to hear about, you know, people that had died and came back. And there was a place and they described it and yet I find the saints using that to his advantage today as well, which brings me to angels, that there are also these people that make these statements about the things that they've been told by these angels, which, as Tom said, requires a discernment.
You bet.
Because it does lead people astray, and to where they lose sight of what God really is. They make statements like, I heard a man the other day saying that we have within ourselves the power to heal ourselves. That we have in ourselves, in our own bodies, the power of everlasting life. It's in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this was supposedly come from somebody who was told this in one of these experiences. And so it is something that we have to be careful about.
With everything good, I'll get back with you, Daniel, because I don't want to forget you. And everything, you got to remember, everything, there's two forces. Always will be till the end of time, until the last judgment, and still exist. It'll just be separated. There's good and evil. And Satan is very deceptive, and he uses all the tools he can to take you from God. Now, that's just all there is to it. And we have to have that understanding of those two basic powers and the sway that they can have on the children of man. Go ahead, Daniel.
This conversation just came up, right? I just had two nights ago with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts.
Ghosts,
and,
yeah.
How do you combat something like that? There's a science based on, you know,
okay.
Who
believes in spirits? Are there spirits?
Well, I believe in, you know, angels and demons. I try to, you know, explain that to them, that there are two angels. Well, that they have their own kind of testimonies of supernatural things happening that they attribute to ghosts. Well,
is their term ghost is what we're thinking of as spirit? Different spirits? Do you think they're one and the same? You see what I'm saying? When we read in the scripture about the spirits that entered into the one man who then threw himself into the fire, was it a spirit or a ghost? Or can we relate them as one and the same? You see what I'm saying? What does the scripture say about that? What does the scripture say about that? The Book of Mormon. What does it say about that?
I think he had, the only place I can go to with these things is first that Ecclesiastes, because most people believe the Bible, says that as soon as you die, your spirit goes back to God who gave it.
You got it.
You're not a free spirit
there you go.
Around the world, which is where some of this stuff he's talking about is what I was talking about. This is coming out that we just die and wander around. We see our relatives. We do all these things. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe it.
Right.
My other statement would be that we can explain what these are. Mm-hmm. We can explain that the scriptures are full of the fact that Satan is deceptive. Mm-hmm. And that he can stand to a night in the light of an angel.
That's right.
And that he and a third of the host, however many the hosts of angels
were, of heaven,
nobody knows.
That's right.
Are wandering around, thrown down on the earth to deceive the children of men.
That's right.
And to take them away from the one true God. And so, I mean, to me, the explanation, I mean, we deal with this on the reservation all the time. There are many, superstitions. But they have spirits that are there. They hear things, they see things, and there's only one way to explain it, and that is that if it doesn't do what you said earlier, if the things that we see don't tend to believe, make us believe in Christ.
That's right.
And to do good and to serve Him, then there's only one author.
Right.
And man will give the word science to anything they want to justify.
Well, even if they are, even with science, if they're trying to identify something, or they find an energy or whatever it might be, obviously it's something that we're seeing or can see. That spirit that tore the clothes and bit the man and ravaged him in the Bible, do you remember that? That was something real, wasn't it? I mean, that tore him up, didn't it? You know? It had some force behind it. So, you see what I'm saying? It is a real thing. Yes?
But I guess the point I was trying to make is you can go to a college that offers cosmetology science. You know? Just to say that because people call it a science.
Oh, okay.
I do think people have these experiences. They
yes.
are out there. Just like he said, they can cite documented evidence of some of these things. Just like Brian has, you know, in his class talks to us about people that cite documented evidence about evolution and other things. And we've got to be able to explain it.
You're right.
Satisfactorily to them so that they know that there is a difference. To me, what I heard someone say about the reason for believing in God is that they knew that there was a devil. And if there was a devil, there had to be a God.
There you go. One or the other. Yeah, Pat.
Well, I'd just like to say something to Dan, because I've had the same experience that he has with people trying to convince me that I'm something to explain something to them. Are, they're not going to understand those things.
Yeah, before the Spirit of God can carry that into their heart. You know, probably one of the most important things I could leave with you young people today with that question, I hope you at least thought in your mind and maybe considered some of the things we talked about tonight. But it's very important, like in the second chapter of Timothy, it says, study to show thyself approved, not unto man, but unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Scripture, there's a lot of good things in the Scripture that'll help you in your with your communications with your friends, with your belief, with your hope, and with working with all these aspects of helping you to grow in your belief in God. It's very important. God gave us these Scriptures, went through great pains, worked with a lot of people that we might have them. That I might have them here now. Yes, Jenny.
One thing that I'm thinking about is it takes an effort to believe in God. I mean, somebody has to have the desire and the hope, but it takes an effort to achieve it. God's not going to come over and bump you on the head and say, I'm here. He's going to, I mean, you have to want it.
What does the Scripture say? What did Christ say? I stand at the door and knock. He didn't open up the door, did he? No, he just stood out there and knocked. Are you going to open the door? You know, are you going to let him come in and help you to understand? You know, and that takes the part of the faith opening up the door. Is there anything else that anyone would like to add? I really appreciate your participation tonight. I like to make it a little bit different because it helps us to stay awake and maybe get a little interested and be able to handle these short, small groups, yeah.
One thing, to me, what a quick spirit it was, if it's the devil working, you're not going to have the abiding peace that comes with that.
Right.
You're not going to feel that.
Right. You're always going to be disturbed. You're not going to feel comfortable. You're not going to be peace with yourself. And you're going to be lost. You're right. You're very right. And that's why you do have a lot of young people, a lot of older people too, taking drugs and doing all kinds of things, trying to rid themselves of that other feeling and not having a peace within their heart. Yes?
Well, one of the things too, the devil will never try to convince anybody of Christ or of God. He's got it like this. Second Eve, in that 12th chapter, he's got his word. It's always trying to create a doubt or to eliminate the power of God.
Right. You're right.
And if you read your scriptures and study them, then you'll know where they're coming from. You'll know both where God's coming from and where the adversary's coming from.
Right. Well, thank you very much for helping me with my sermon tonight. May God bless you.
There we go. 5:30 that evening is a Father's Day program.
5 o'clock Friday? Yes. The young people are collecting items to be used for fundraising garage sale. If you have anything to donate, please give them to Patricia or Bob by Wednesday, July 5th. Also, vacation church school begins at 9 a.m. Monday, June 19th, and continues through Friday, June 23rd. Please bring a t-shirt for a shirt painting craft. Also, for those 7 years old and older, don't forget your books. And we need to remember Cindy Gill is going to be going in for outpatient back surgery on Tuesday, the 12th. And we're asked to remember her in our prayers. Number 214. Bow your heads with me. My dear Heavenly Father, as we come to a close of this day, it is in thanksgiving and praise once more for all the multitude of your tender mercies and for your many blessings. We do pray that we might always be mindful, Father, of you in our day-to-day lives, that we might be able to see clearly, Father, through the dark clouds of this world, that we might be able to look upon thee with an eye that's single to thy glory. I pray that you would forgive us of our sins and our imperfections. I pray that you'd bless us, that the love of thy Son would be found shed about in our hearts, one for another and for all people. I pray that you'd give us, Father, the answers to the many questions that we find from day to day, that you'd bless us in our studies that we might understand, that you'd bless your priesthood as we teach, Lord, that we could also, that we might understand those things that we teach and be able to present it in a way that others might be able to grasp the truthfulness of thy gospel. I pray even now, Lord, that you'd go with us through the remainder of this week. Father, we need your strength from day to day to overcome the temptations to live a life and be an example that we desire. And I pray that you might always remain with us. And these things I pray, Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen.